Chud.
Hey, everybody. Guess what we're covering this week? National Lampoon's European Vacation. Just kidding. Chud. Welcome to Laser Graves. This is a podcast about the 80s. So that joke that I made was not completely out of the realm of possibilities.
No,
it was a boring joke.
Is it wrong that I just don't like National Lampoons?
No, it's not wrong at all. You're entitled to your opinion.
Okay, thanks.
I'd judge you over it.
Whatever.
I'm your co-host, DK Wimmer.
I'm your other host, Mariah Rose Wimmer. Spouse, yeah. Not sibling. Because I feel like we should make that clear. We are married. You're not my dad, even though you're much older.
Okay.
By 11 months.
That's right. That's why I have this cool wizard beard. It's growing in white now.
No, that's a neck beard.
Well, this week will be fun. We're looking forward to it. Before we get started, though, on the notorious Chud, we should get through some segments. Thrift Store Finds of the Week.
Okay. So we went to Goodwill, kind of on a whim, a little outside of our normal routine, because we usually just only thrift on the weekend. But we went in, and I saw it. I immediately was like, what? Because it wasn't just like a Halloween skull. You can just tell it's a real medical grade skull. Even from a distance, there's something about the plastic. And I found a medical skull, and it had little hinges, so it, like, the top pops off. Inside there is a brain, and the brain's in a, like, brain sack, and you can peel it back and check out the gray matter.
It's really cool.
It's so cool. Yeah, I don't know what it was for. It also has, like, a little square drilled out of it, so I think it was used for something as an example, kind of specifically modified.
Yeah, so it's nice. Those are pricey, too, man. I looked them up on eBay, and I mean, everything now is expensive on eBay. Isn't it funny that when eBay first started, it was, like, the place to get really cheap stuff, and now it's turned into the exact opposite?
Well,
now
it's because,
like, a place to get really expensive stuff.
It's because at first everybody was like, oh, I need to finish off my baseball card collection, and everybody was selling it, so you could buy your missing baseball card collection card for 25 cents.
Yeah.
And now everybody's all over that, and now they want the good stuff.
That's right.
Not the dumb stuff.
Yeah. It's really frustrating.
Sorry.
I was thinking back to some of the cool stuff I bought when, like, eBay first started, and boy, there is no way I could ever afford anything like that anymore.
Yeah, I feel like the market was just flooded early on, and then now it's all the specialty things.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are your thrift store finds?
Okay. I don't have a lot, but I have one that I want to discuss, and it is a VHS tape from a distribution company called Paragon Video, which I've never owned one of them. They're very collectible. And I found one in the wild. I was very excited about it. And this is the cover.
What's happening here?
It's pretty amazing. There's a guy with muscles and his shirt is shredded. And there's a bunch of people screaming.
Is his shirt shredded and he's ripped?
Yeah.
Okay.
His shirt's ripped and so is he.
Okay.
And it is called Death Promise. The logo or the font has flaming letters and there is a rat charging out of it.
It's just the life story of this rat.
Yes. And on the back, there is an image of two men having a little tussle in the court or in the yard. I don't know what that's all about.
It's a strange dramatic sequence there. It's a strange choice for a highlighted scene in this movie because it's real boring.
Like, yeah, it's probably
boring.
It's not what I would have gone with. But let me read you the back.
Okay.
Because it's something. A story of bloody revenge. When the tenants band together to save their homes, the landlord resorts to any means possible to evict them. Even the murder of an old man who has been their leader, the son, vowing revenge, makes a death promise.
What?
Don't miss the film's explosive conclusion.
It's just the rat.
exploded. Yeah, you better believe we're watching this one. That's my thrift store find of the week.
All right.
So we got one more segment to get through that we've started now due to overwhelming popular
so
demand.
So much feedback.
People were like, just keep adding segments. And we were like, okay.
Okay.
And so this is another one. Interesting fact about yourself of the week.
Okay, I'm going to keep it super short. I can't really snap.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Listen. Oh, I just snapped right there.
Yeah.
Here, I'll do right hand. Can you hear it?
No, because you're not snapping.
And then left is a little better.
Nope.
There we go.
Here's a snap.
Whatever.
Wow, that's a very interesting fact about yourself. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing that.
Uh-huh.
Mine is, I just found out yesterday that my documentary that I scored for Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is being released very, very limited on VHS. And apparently it's impossible for me to get a copy. But isn't that cool?
That's very cool. And by very, very limited, is that just one nerd copied it?
Yeah, me. I will find a way to get a copy.
All right.
All right. Are you ready to get into this week's episode?
Chud.
Chud. Chud. Chud.
Chud.
Chud. Chud. 1984. Oh, that's a good year.
A fine vintage.
Yeah, vintage movie. Chud, yes. Is this... Okay, now that we've seen it, have you ever seen Chud?
No, I thought I had.
Yeah, I thought I had too. I mean, it's Chud. Like, everybody knows the name.
Yeah.
I definitely have never seen Chud until...
Yeah, okay.
Until
so,
this.
First time watch for
both
of us.
I was very surprised. I've always been like, yeah, sure, Chud. And I think I just got it confused with something else.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Chud, 1984, directed by Douglas Cheek.
Spelled like Cheek?
He did one other movie. That's it. And then, like, a made-for-TV.
Okay.
Weird.
He topped off with Chud. What else do you need?
It's just always weird when somebody has, like, a cult classic and just never went on to do anything else.
Is this a cult classic?
Chud, for sure, yeah. In the horror community, not, like, in the general community.
Okay.
So, that's the director. Chud, do you remember what it stands for? Quiz?
Cannibalistic human underground doppelgangers.
Close. Cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers.
Dwellers. That makes more sense than doppelgangers.
Should. But we will find out later at the end of the movie that there was one other definition for, or one other meaning for Chud. But we'll get to that. So, you know who this stars?
John Goodman.
It does. Yeah, nice, pretty sweet cameo from John Goodman.
Yes.
He just gets eaten. But what I was happy about is we have a return person to our podcast, Daniel Stern, the one and only, who is slowly over the course of Laser Graves becoming an actor that I really enjoy.
Shall we seek out his entire body of work?
I thought that, and then I realized we've basically covered the only movies I would want to watch, but.
I feel like he probably did a bunch of, like, 1980s dramatic romance kind of movies.
I don't know about that. But Daniel Stern, you would know him from Home Alone as one of the...
Wet Bandits!
He was a Wet Bandit, yeah. But we covered him in our episode on Get Crazy.
Get Crazy!
Which was a really fun movie.
Uh-huh.
So I was excited to see that he's one of the leads in this because I really like him.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Can we recover a movie we already covered that we like?
Like, do another episode on it? Because we've definitely done episodes on many movies that just did not, like, there was audio problems or something, and I'm like, dang, we've done a handful of episodes already that never got released, and I'm like, can we do it again?
Oh, yeah. We're going to have to. There's a couple, but what about ones that we already did, and we're just like, let's investigate it further.
It's kind of like when a director wants to redo the movie that they've already done in the past.
Or like when I read The Stand, but the unedited version that Stephen King released.
Yeah. Sometimes trust an editor on
not.
That one. Okay, well, our cannibalistic humanoid underground dwellers put on quite a show. So,
Chud.
What I like about Chud is it opens right up with a woman being pulled down into the sewer by a Chud.
Yeah, she's walking her dog.
Yeah.
Little evening stroll.
I am also a huge fan. I don't know anybody who isn't. If they're not, this is crazy. huge fan of 80s New York City horror movies.
Yeah,
like, this there one, is something so fantastic about that.
And this one delivered because it had lots of like street shots of New York. Yeah,
for sure.
Because do you remember how in the 80s New York was like kind of scary and there was danger around every corner?
I do. You want to know a fun fact that I maybe should have used for my fun fact about myself?
Double fun facts.
Double fun fact. 1989, I believe. Might have been 1990 now that I'm thinking about it, but I think it was 89.
Go with 89.
It was 89. My sister had just moved to Connecticut, and so my mother and my other sister and I took a road trip all the way there to go see her, and we stopped in New York City along the way, but when we got to New York City, we had misjudged what the time would be, and we got there at like 3 in the morning.
That's stupid.
And we were going to bypass the city, but none of us had ever been there, and we thought, well, we want to see the Twin Towers, the Statue of Liberty, all that kind of stuff, Rockefeller Center, so we drove through at 3 in the morning. My mother ended up getting lost in Chinatown at 3 a.m. in downtown New York.
Oh my goodness.
In the late 80s.
Oh, and I know your mother. Oh,
yeah, and
goodness.
It was really seedy. There were so many people on the street, like, staring at us, like these three people going through. So I locked the door. And then
did you do the nerd lock where you just kind of like,
oh yeah, like I pretended I put
it?
My arm on. Yeah. It was super sketchy. And at one point, this is an absolutely true story. There was like a classic 80s gang just all standing around like a barrel fire. And they looked at us and one of them yelled, "Hey, hey." And my mom kind of just sped up to get away. And they started chasing towards our car to get to us. And mm-hmm. she sped out. And then we ultimately got to like a old-fashioned police paddy wagon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, "Mom, that's not a real cop. Cops don't actually drive those." But she was like, "This is a real cop." And we pulled up and the New York City cop like helped us get out of, like navigate out of the city.
He was like, "You guys
you
definitely
do not belong
did not
here."
Belong.
Yeah. And that was my first experience with New York City. Aww. It changed a lot over the years. It's definitely cleaned up. I mean, it's...
Yeah, it's not like the scary, like gritty.
No, and there was trash
city.
All over the streets, like just bags and
was
bags
of trash.
Was
there like a garbage strike?
Who knows? It was New
yep,
York City.
Yep, there was. I remember the facts and history of all of the 1980s in New
yeah.
York.
Well, this was very much this felt like that when yeah. I was watching this movie. I was like, yep, that's New York.
Yep. And then we also, after we get a lot of street shots of New York City, we meet some of our main characters. This is sort of an ensemble cast, but...
Oh, yeah, thespians.
Two of the main characters, George and Lauren, they're a couple. They're not married. I get a sense that it's a fairly new relationship because they aren't acting like they understand how relationships work.
Yeah, George is a fashion photographer and Lauren's the model.
He doesn't want to be a fashion photographer.
Sure, because that's such a tough job.
It's hard to photograph those nude women when you want to make real, cutting-edge, gritty New York photography.
Yeah, it was really hard work for him. I like that it starts with her putting makeup over a pimple on her butt.
Yes, so she's a model. She's got a nude photo shoot, which he is booked to shoot. Which is like, oh, you're a model and your boyfriend's shooting you? This is odd.
But she's not nude in the photo shoot, which is funny. It's like she's nude, but she's got a giant cloth draped over
her. It's basically fully covering her more than most of the clothes she wears through the rest of the movie. But she's got that makeup on her butt pimple, so.
Yeah, so that's one of our couple. That's like two of our leads. But
George and Lauren.
We'll meet some more.
And also, this is where we see that George is doing other work, photographing the homeless population of New York City, and that's really the only reason why we care about them.
Yeah, speaking of homeless, somebody's walking around. I think it's her, Lauren, and there's like some rustling in
the
a
basement.
Bag of garbage. Yeah. No, the garbage outside. She goes outside, and there's like a bunch of garbage moving around. And then
it's her neighbor.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it the neighbor? And she looks and there's like a hole going to the ground. And that's when we realize that like something was there.
It's like a bloody hole going into the sewers.
Yeah. And this is when I first realized, and this will be consistent throughout the whole film, I loved the score of this movie.
It was...
The music was cool.
It was interesting for sure.
I really liked it. We meet some cops who are going to play a very large role in this movie.
Most importantly, Detective Bosch.
Yeah, this is a cop film. For sure.
Yes. So he's a detective. He's interrogating a bag lady because she was trying to take a gun, but she won't really talk to them. And instead, she uses her one phone call to leave a message with George, who we learned had previously photographed her.
Yeah, he had photographed a few homeless people for his, like, series that he's developing on the side to, like, just to have a sense of himself, because fashion photography around beautiful women and easy money is, like, that's just...
gross.
It's just, it's rough on him. It's taken a toll.
Yeah, and we actually go to, he's on set for this perfume ad that he's shooting with his girlfriend, Lauren.
Oh, he's throwing a bitch fit, too.
Yeah,
wow,
he has a big meltdown, and I wrote, George is a big baby loser. He, embarrasses Lauren and insults the company who has hired him, and then he storms off to do that thing where you call your answering machine from a different phone. And so he listens to his voicemails, or like his answering machine messages, and he hears the message from the bag lady. And instead of explaining to Lauren, I gotta go help my bag lady friend, I'm going to leave you, he just walks out the door.
Yeah.
And it's never addressed. Like, she's just like, well, that's George.
Yeah, he's not a likable character at all. Although his profession made me think of some other movies that I do like Blow Up and stuff that have fashion photographers as the leads.
Yes.
And it made me really want to watch Baba Yaga with the fashion photographer scene. Because I was like, there's so many other films that are way cooler.
Yes.
I mean...
Oh, we should mention, though, that George is the dad from Home Alone.
Yeah, it's
so
a reunion.
So it's a Home Alone. This is a pre-union.
That's right.
Pre-Home Alone.
Do you think they pitched each other? Do you think one of them got the gig first on Home Alone and they were like, you know who you should hire?
Yeah.
I worked with him on this film, Chud.
At the end, when they're like in the tunnels of New York, they really bonded and they're like, we should try and be in another movie. Like,
even though they didn't get to act together in
something with a precocious boy.
Was there ever a scene where they were on film together at once in Home Alone?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Okay, so George ditches out on this nude perfume set, and then we skip to a soup kitchen where we meet AJ, who's the wet bandit.
The Reverend.
His name is AJ, and he's going as the Reverend. There's no real rhyme or reason to that, because he's not a Reverend. But he works at the soup kitchen, and he has called the police station because he said there's a bunch of missing undergrounders. Right. Meaning all of the homeless population who lives in the tunnels under New York City. And he's like, I just haven't seen them. Simultaneously, George and his bag lady, and they refer to her as a bag lady. So that's why we're calling her that. That's not
the
terminology
role,
we use.
No, she does a good job, though.
So George and the bag lady go underground to see her brother, Vincent, who's been attacked and bitten by somebody. We also learn at this point that the detective Bosch's wife has gone missing, and that there is also an EPA probe of the underground. So it's all kind of coming, like swirling in a soup, spinning towards a center point. We see all of the elements coming together.
Yeah, is this when we see that one crazy homeless guy, the only one that's survived so far? There's like all the underground people, as he called them, have not come back to the soup kitchen.
Yeah.
Except for this one. And there's this one guy, and the detective goes up to question him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like rambling on in all this crazy talk. And at one point he's like, they have the power to shut the sky.
Yeah. That was weird and had no real purpose.
I enjoyed it. I thought it was really entertaining.
He gave his best.
I also noticed when they leave, like the detective leaves, in the background, did you see? This is what I loved about New York movies in the 80s, is I feel like they let people on the street actually just stay on the street while they were filming, because there's this dude who has two drumsticks, and he's just like rocking out on a mailbox. He's just playing drums.
I think they probably hired somebody, paid him, he went to craft services, did the whole thing.
Yeah.
After AJ has reported to Detective Bosch about these missing people, they decide they're going to go underground, and AJ reveals to Bosch that he's been going underground, and he's found some weird things like a Geiger counter and a boot from some sort of specialty suit. But while they're messing with a Geiger counter, it actually goes off. It like sets an alert and then dies down. And there's a monster scream in the distance. So it was like something approached that was like radioactive and then went away.
What I like about this film when they're down there in the sewer talking is that it makes me think of Ninja Turtles.
Just peep around the corner.
That was very Ninja Turtles to me. And through this whole film, I couldn't stop thinking about Ninja Turtles. Oh. And, like, foot soldiers and everything else. So,
or if April O'Neil had been, like, reporting on the incidents.
Yeah. Also, Captain Bosch, did you recognize him at all?
Detective Bosch, no.
Captain, no.
He was the captain?
Yeah, remember he got promoted. There's a little talk about that.
Okay.
He is Mr. Rico from Starship Troopers. He's the dad.
What? Mm-hmm. Well, the only good bug is a dead chud. What? That's how it goes, right?
Good one. So, Lauren is pregnant, and...
Yeah. It doesn't actually serve any purpose whatsoever.
No, and she decides to keep the baby, but man, does she need some convincing. It's a long scene that has 0 point to anything.
No. I mean, perhaps beyond her overlooking what a garbage person George is.
Yeah.
Other than that, I couldn't figure it out.
But we finally get to see a chud right after this. This is when we see a chud creeping out, and like there's this kid and a grandfather in a phone booth. And the chud is coming out of the sewer like a Ninja Turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And the kid screams, the grandfather's killed, and the kid is left behind. And they take her to the police station where she's traumatized. I like it. It's kind of like wet and green and glowing eyes. It's really cheesy.
It's like a full rubbery. No range of motion.
This is not going to win any awards on creature design.
Nope.
Somehow I love everything about it.
Wasn't a fan, but that's okay. I was a fan of the phone booth. I felt incredibly nostalgic when I saw that phone booth. And I was like, somewhere there are all the phone booths, like in every city. Why can't we get in on that action?
I would love to have a phone booth just like in here.
Or in the garden.
Yeah, that would be really cool. It reminds me of when I was trying to track down all the locations for John Carpenter's Vampires that was shot in New Mexico.
Yes.
And I went and found the exact like film location of the scene outside of the hotel when James Wood is standing out front and he's in a phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no phone booth there anymore. There's just a little tiny electrical like hole in the ground where the phone booth used to be. And it made me really sad.
It's crazy because now do we not only no longer use phone booths, but we don't even talk on the phone unless it's like an emergency or like a blood relative. I mean, do you talk to anybody on the phone that you are not related to?
Yeah, every day at work. But I mean...
In your normal life,
my normal life, gosh, no.
Okay.
So, this also kind of has a Stranger Things vibe. Like, I can see where they lifted from this a little bit, where this is about, like, things living in the shadows that are coming to get them from a different place.
The underground, the upside down, it's all
the
same.
Really cool. Like, I kind of get the whole vibe. Also, the whole radioactive material thing is really fun.
Yeah.
I love that notion from the 80s that everything was radioactive. It's a very big topic in the 80s, like Return of the Living Dead, all that kind of stuff. Everything was zombie movies and stuff was like sludge and radioactive material got left behind and this is what created. So I thought that was kind of cool.
I think it was Chernobyl, where we all realized that basically exposure to serious radiation, radioactive material, any like nuclear waste, we just now assume, oh, that's just going to give you cancer or maybe like strange babies and then you die. But back then they thought it transformed your body and explained anything away.
Yeah.
Just anything.
Yeah.
I love that.
It is pretty funny. After this, we'll move forward. They discover, Bosch and the Reverend discover that there's something going on because they break into the photographer's house and find photographic evidence of like bite marks on some of these underground people. And they take this evidence to the like police chief or
something. It's like a commissioner and then the board of the EPA or whatever environmental group that There is. His name is Wilson.
Yeah, and it's funny because they're trying to basically confront him and say, there's something going on here and you need to tell us the truth. And they're shutting him down, being like, you guys are just talking about monsters. You're idiots.
They come in with actually zero fact-based evidence.
Oh, no, but they're really shouting. At one point, Daniel, like, one of them goes to say something and Daniel Stern goes, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to him. Eat it.
When you don't have any evidence, you just raise your voice.
It was really cool. That was a pretty good scene. But that basically what we discover there is that there is somebody's hiding something and that they know what's going on, but they're not willing to confess because it's all hush hush.
And we only learned this because AJ and Bosch present no real evidence, but somehow these guys believe it to be evidence and give away the plot.
Well, no, because what happens is that there's a file that gets thrown.
Yeah.
And one of them goes to find it. And that's when they see the word chud.
Chud.
And they're like, what does this mean? And then the guy says, give me that. Where do you think you are? High school? That's classified, a government file. And then...
That's why I threw it on the table wide open.
Yeah, but this is where we discover what chud is. Right? Isn't this where we find out?
I don't know. Kind of. I think you kind of find it out a couple times.
I can't remember. It might be later. But they find a chud dead later, and so this is now, like, it's official. We do know they exist.
There's something in the sewers. It's kind of generally like agreed upon.
These weird mutated creatures. And so we see the chud. What I like, though, that the way we see it is through the reflection of somebody's, like, special mask. You just see the reflection of the chud on the autopsy table in the reflection. It's really pretty clever. Pretty cool at first. I wish if they would have done more like that, this film would have been maybe stronger.
Cooler. Yeah.
Because when they flat out show the chud, I'm like, ooh, maybe
like the M. Night Shyamalan signs where you just don't need to actually look directly at it. Also, right before that, George and Lauren were like in Central Park, and a really creepy reporter came up and like revealed that George has had a police tail and like knew a lot of stuff about George's photos and wants to collaborate, but he like weirdly yelled at them. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And then as it's all moving forward, where there's this now rift between the police and the EPA or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that what it is, the EPA?
I don't know.
It's some kind of, like, government agency that oversees toxic waste, I guess. I don't know.
But they're not trying... They're, like, trying to hide it and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're going to go down. The government's going to go down into the sewers to try and, like, do some recon. And when they get down there, they find that there's this squad of the police SWAT team down there.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's going on? And then there's this whole back and forth, but they're like, we have flamethrowers, so you're going to follow us now.
Yeah.
And then the captain, after basically taking over and the government
Bosch.
Project,
yeah.
turns and is like, so which way do we go? And then Wilson, who's the guy who's covering
the senior,
this all up.
Authority here.
Yeah. He turns to him and says, you're a college graduate. You figure it out.
Yes. Also, this is important to note that they're able to watch these men underground because they have an enormous 1980s video camera, which I'm guessing is attached to like a cable that goes like for.
No, it was like a battery operated. It was pretty funny.
But they're getting a live feed of it.
Yeah,
and it's the 80s, so whatever.
It's a lot going on where they're exploring the underground. They're trying to kind of weed them out.
Mm-hmm.
And Wilson's leading everybody on to believe that there's just one chud. It's
and
not
that
like
they'll
a bunch
kill
of
him
them.
With a gas leak.
Yeah. And then we're back at George's house. And I noticed he had a sword on the wall, which I thought was pretty cool.
It comes into play
it
later.
It sure does. But speaking of seeing things in the house, I have to tell a little story. This is like a geek story.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell it. So... We watched that Jordan Peele movie, Us. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? It was... Okay, I don't care what our listeners think. That movie sucked. It was a hot mess. If you don't believe me, go watch it again. Anyway, as we're watching Us, it opens really cool. And it opens in like 1986. And in this living room, next to the TV, there is a stack of VHS. And one of the VHS there is Chud. And it's a little kind of Easter egg or whatever it's called to give you an indication about the influence that, that Chud had on us with the underground dwellers and stuff like that. But what I noticed right away, because I'm a VHS collector, is that it was the Star Maker version of Chud, which was released in like 1990-something, like 93.
That's a full nerd alert.
So whoever was in charge of doing the like set dressing screwed up, and they were like, we need a copy of Chud. They're clearly not a VHS collector and didn't realize that Chud had been re-released multiple times and did not have the 80s version of Chud. And I caught it. And I was like,
wow,
stopped and turned and was like, that's not.
Yeah, you did point that out to me. And version. I was like, okay.
So, you know, care, hey, everybody's got a skill set.
You do. You were very impressed with yourself.
Yeah. So there's a plot developing here to blow up the Chuds. They're like, okay, we need to get rid of them.
They don't want
to
blow them up. They just want to cook them with gas. Like, kill them with gas. Yep. Now you're cooking with gas.
Yeah, they want to do that. Then Chud kills Murphy, and I just have a question. Who the hell was Murphy, and why did we even have to know who he was?
He was the reporter that went underground with
George. Yeah, I know that, but like, what was the point of him in this movie at all?
Well, he got George underground because they were trying to go like do some research together.
Okay.
He was the aggressive shouting man from New York, the Central Park scene. And so they go underground, Chud kills him. So basically he just is, his only function was to get George to go underground. Seems like there could have been easier ways to do that, but that's what they chose.
Okay, because I was just like, why do I even care about this guy, Murphy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
This is pretty cool. We see the next cool scene is like the Chuds hanging out. It's here's the way I would liken it to a modern day. It's like The Descent, but in a sewer instead of a cave.
And less cool.
Cool in a different way. How about that?
Yeah, that's good.
And then
Simultaneously, AJ has gone underground.
Yeah, we're going to flash forward because there's not a whole lot that happens. The next big scene is that the captain finds his wife's head.
Oh, yep. He's walking by the water.
We talked
for
about
no reason.
The wife had gone missing. Did we discuss that?
Yeah, right at the beginning. It's the opening scene.
So they find his wife's head.
I don't understand why it was just sitting by the water, why he was walking in that specific spot. There was no reason, but he stumbled upon his wife's head.
Maybe we missed something too.
No.
And then the next scene that I found amusing was the shower scene. Do you want to talk about that one?
Yeah. So Lauren, she finds a mangled dog in the basement because a Chud came up through the basement and mangled the dog.
Right.
She goes upstairs. She calls the police and then decides she's going to go ahead and shower.
She's going to shower with a scrunchie in her hair. Did you notice that?
Yeah, but that's like grandmas who got their hair done. They'll wear like a shower cap. She just didn't want her hair wet. She just wanted to clean her skin.
Why would you take a shower and not clean your hair?
Well, because it dries your hair out. And she's got a little bit of a perm, so maybe she didn't want to dry it out more.
Okay. Well, I thought it was weird that she kept that scrunchie in her hair.
Nah, some women like to go a few times between.
Okay, well,
maybe she's a heavy sweater. You don't know. Don't you judge her.
All right. This is a cool scene, though.
You judge her for her hanger habits, not her scrunchie habits.
Yeah, let's talk about what happens. So during this very unsexy shower scene, the shower clogs. And I was thinking like, oh, she's going to be surprised by this. But she very casually like, oh, it clogged again, reaches and grabs a hanger. And then straightens the hanger and starts jabbing it in the, like, drain. But then we get this awesome kind of it scene where it, like, blows blood out of the drain all over her. It was pretty cool.
It was okay, but here's the thing. In the next scene we'll see, she is fully cleaned. So that means that she was like, whoa, yuck. And then
cleaned it all
up. And then stayed in the shower to wash off.
What would you do? That's the place to clean yourself.
I know, but I just feel like I'd run to somebody else's house after a blood explosion.
Yeah, she
in my
seemed
own
pretty
shower.
Cool with it. She didn't seem too traumatized by it.
Yeah, so she has blood all over. And then we shoot to the most important scene where we have John Goodman, who is a cop. He and this other actor who I recognize from TV shows, but I don't know who he is. They're like off their shift or something. They're in a diner flirting with a waitress. And this is when the Chud decide to strike. So Chuds. Several Chuds come out And they, like, each one takes a window. They break the windows in instead of coming in through the door.
Like you do.
And it's a bloodbath.
Like, big time. Especially post, like, the crime scene afterwards is just blood.
Well, yeah, you don't see any violence in this, just blood afterwards.
No, but is it interesting that in that short time, John Goodman just does such a good job?
He's a delight.
I really like John Goodman a lot. I didn't know he was in this. Do you remember King Ralph? Yeah, of course I remember.
Did it come out in the 90s? I think it did.
Yeah, Seems very 90s.
Okay, so they die. All the Chuds go crazy on them. And then at the same time, there's the Chud in the basement who breaks free, and he's after Lauren. So he comes up out of the basement. He has to break through some doors. And it kind of is flashing back between that, all of the crazy aftermath of, like, police and...
Yeah, because we see the captain come and confront Wilson, and he's like...
It's all happening at the scene of the diner.
Yeah, you killed all these people. You're responsible for this. You killed my wife. And then he really launches into overacting. Mm-hmm. And my favorite part is he's, like, heavy breathing in his overacting really, really hard. And it was some intense heavy breath that he was doing, and he was really selling it.
Sometimes but, hey, you just gotta breathe.
Yeah, yeah, good for that. Then the Chud is back in Lauren's apartment, and she is trying to call on the phone really frantically, but pulls it out of the wall, and it breaks the cord.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that she... Okay, so here's what I found out about Lauren in a time of crisis. She's not the smartest decision maker.
No.
She makes very bad decisions, and starting with this one. So it's coming through the door, and she decides to just throw a phone... at the door.
She also turns off the lights, and we know that Chuds have glowing eyes and are used to the underground, so she's just put herself at a disadvantage.
Yeah, that's what I thought. If anything,
bright lights.
They made it easy. She made it easier for the Chud to attack
her. She's like, "Let me help. The transition from underground to above ground is rough."
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Also, it is flashing between the cops up, you know, at the crime scene, her in her apartment, and then...
Underground.
And then the underground, which is George and Daniel Stern.
Yeah, George, like, is climbing around, comes across some bodies. It's this whole confrontation, but he kills a guy who's transforming into a Chud, and then AJ comes up to him.
Yeah, so here's my question. The guy is transforming into a Chud because he's been exposed to all this radioactive material, but they have been walking around...
Well, I think he was bitten because it's actually the bag lady's brother, Vincent. Oh, is it
the one that they... Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Because they're just, like, wandering around radioactive
places the whole time. No, that's Chud 2. There's got to be a Chud 2, right?
Oh, there's definitely a Chud 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they left it wide open for a Chud 2.
We'll get to that. Okay. They didn't do anything to close this movie.
No.
Okay, so after that, yeah, there's this whole scene. They're wandering around... And then
they're just trying to find their way out of the sewer, but the sewer is being blocked off because Wilson's going to flood the sewer with gas.
Right. Also, don't you think this whole plan to, like, fill everything with gas, would this have been great product placement for Taco Bell?
Oh, that
like it would have been like a subtlety, but I think people would have gotten the joke.
I don't know.
Because the whole thing is about filling the place with gas. So... I want to talk about the sword scene because it made me really happy that the sword does come back.
Yes.
Chud breaks in because, surprise, throwing a phone at the door did not stop it, and turning off the lights did not stop it. So she grabs a sword, and then the Chud's head, like, kind of expands a
little. Its neck grows longer, and I'm not sure, but I suspect it's because she threw film chemicals, like chemicals for developing your film, onto Chud's face.
Oh, and it made it, like...
Made its neck
transform
grow.
More.
Like it
she
does.
She cuts the head off. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But what I
cool.
like is, like a rattlesnake, as the head falls, it's still trying to get a bite to eat and starts munching on her leg, and she has to kick it off.
Left it wide open. Is she going to be like Vincent, the bag lady's brother?
But then as it dies, the eyes go from glowing to not glowing.
Yeah. They dim.
It's some interesting effects.
Also, down underground, AJ and George have found radioactive Chud, which means something different. Do you remember what it is? I didn't write it down.
I do. Hold on.
Okay. So they've been wandering around underground trying to find an escape, but above ground at the scene of the crime, the diner crime, they've been like parking police cars and just random vehicles on top of manhole covers mm-hmm. in preparation for flooding the system with gas, which is really weird because they're not even taking into account like storm drains, which will just, well, there are big open holes, but whatever.
The movie's called Chud.
Okay.
So the other meaning of Chud that they discover is
yes.
that it's also meaning contamination hazard urban disposal.
Okay.
That's, there you go.
That's that. So they find that underground. And then they all freak out. They like, George starts flipping out for no reason. He's kind of held it together and now freaks out and, like, falls on a body. And
yeah, but it's very in character for him. Think about the photo shoot at the beginning
sucks.
Of the film. He's just kind of a drama queen when it comes to it. Yeah.
So they grab a video camera, the one from the initial team that with the flamethrowers that had died. They mm-hmm. find that. Then they pull a headset off of a decapitated head and use
that's
it.
That's pretty cool.
They use it. They get in touch with Bosch and kind of he guides them to an exit where they can escape as this whole sewer is being filled with
yeah,
gas.
Yeah, but then what happens is Bosch is shot by Wilson and then they get out of the manhole cover. Then Wilson's trying to kill the Reverend and George and then the Reverend kills Wilson, shoots him. So
the Reverend being AJ.
Yeah, AJ. I have Wilson shot Captain, AJ shot Wilson, and the whole time George and Lauren just kiss. They're not helpful at all.
What happened was there was a vehicle parked over top of a manhole, and Bosch was trying to move it so that George and AJ could get out of the sewer, and Wilson was trying to prevent this. And it's a shootout in which eventually both Wilson and Bosch die. And then
no, Bosch doesn't die.
Yeah, he does eventually.
Shot.
He does.
At the end? I
yes.
thought he survived.
No, he dies. So he gets, they shoot Wilson, who's trying to re-park the truck over the manhole and also drive over George and AJ. And then the truck explodes, but somehow does not ignite all of the sewers that are filled
yeah,
with
like
gas.
Yeah, like all of New York City.
So weird. And then that's when George and Lauren start making out. And then AJ goes to Bosch, where Bosch, like, slowly slips into death.
Oh, okay. And I guess I was just so... I didn't catch that very last bit of the end because I was completely confused as to why, first off, the city didn't blow up. And then second, that they just ended the movie, but they didn't stop any of the chuds. Like, at
well,
all.
I think they were all dying, and that AJ and, AJ and George escaped just in the nick of time because they were coughing and stuff to show.
It's implied, but they didn't show a single scene of, like, a chud falling down.
Nope. And there was a chud chasing them. He was right behind them as they escaped.
Yeah, it was a very strange ending. I feel like they didn't end the film at all. They just stopped the film.
They were just like, okay, we're done. We don't have the money to make the sewers explode.
We'll pick this up with Chud Part 2.
Oh, yeah.
That is Chud, really. And that's how the ending feels, is you're just like, oh, I guess that was Chud.
Yeah.
Wow. Thoughts on this one?
Meh.
Yeah?
I mean, there are some really funny parts. I really appreciated when Lauren cut off the Chud's head. But, yeah, it was very much something I don't need to watch again. But I will watch Chud 2, so I don't know what that says.
I definitely want to watch Chud 2 now. I don't know how I feel about it. I think I liked it. I think it had some pretty slow parts. It's a pretty slow burn. For a while, I'm like, okay, can we just get to the Chuds already? Because it's a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, so much character development.
But I kind of banked on the idea of the end of the film picking up, and it did. I mean, it kind of did.
Mostly it just was a, like, rapid fire version of what we'd already watched.
It felt a far less campy than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was hoping, like, for more camp.
For the legacy of Chud being more of a cult classic, I thought it was going to be a bit more over the top campy, and it felt more just like a, you know, like an 80s horror movie.
It was classic.
Yeah, it was very classic. It felt very classic. It felt like a low-budget classic horror movie versus, like, a low-budget campy horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have liked more Chud.
And, like, the acting was fine in it, so that wasn't... It's not like I was going to make fun of the acting or anything like that, like that you expect from those kind of movies. It was a solid movie overall with really bad special effects, I would say.
Yeah,
but
the masks.
Yeah, which is crazy because all the, like, decapitated heads and stuff looked awesome. So they had
the... It was the costumes they were wearing.
The Chud were just really goofy.
And also the Chud's, like, reaching up because it was, like, rubber fingers that could not bend. It's like when I put on the witch hand and, like, try and hold hands with you, my fingers
won't bend. Like subspecies fingers.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe that's where the cult following comes, or the campiness comes, is that the actual Chuds are so corny looking that it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I could see that, like, if you grew up with this movie, it just becomes very amusing.
Yeah, it would have been cool to see as, like, a younger kid.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it overall. I mean, it was fine. It was fun to watch. I was kind of shocked that I hadn't already seen it before.
Yeah.
Especially because I've known that name my whole life. But it's just one that slipped under the radar. So we'll have to cover part two.
At some point.
Yeah, I don't know if it's an 80s film or not. So
I mean, how many... How long could they keep this going?
I don't. Well, I just don't know if it came like immediately after. But 84 is pretty early. So
was there so much demand for Chud that they were like, we gotta answer this call. We need more Chud.
Who knows? I don't know. To be continued.
Chudder to think that they didn't make a 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the only good Chud is a dead Chud. So if you like what you heard, rate, review, subscribe. You can follow us. We're on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, all those places at Laser Graves. We're on Instagram at Laser Graves, and then our personal sites if you want to follow us. I'm at Death at 33 RPM.
I'm at Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And yeah, tell a friend, and we'll come back. This was actually our 40th episode, our boring 40. We celebrated 39 instead.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep it going, and we'll see you next week. So
thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Chud, 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 chud.